3, 2, 1.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Hello, people of the internet. Welcome to the first ever Old Geek, Young Geek podcast. My name is Scott Pell. I've been writing about video games for the past several years, and I've been playing games for even longer. My history with video games extends all the way back to probably when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I started writing about video games in about college on a more professional level, I guess you could say. I started writing for my college paper, and I earned an honorable mention, which doesn't sound that fancy, but it's something, so I'll take it. But I've been continuing to write via freelance for independent gaming websites and for my own personal blog. And I decided to start this podcast when I met up with my new friend, Steven Johnson, who used to work with G4TV.com and various other awesome outlets. So I'll let him introduce himself. Steven.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Steven Johnson, and my history with video games dates back to the Carter administration, and that's no joke. Gaming has been my hobby since I used to have to load PC games with a cassette tape. So that's how old this stuff goes. So, of course, I am the old geek.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know. So we're hoping to put out a podcast on the internet because there's just a lack of people, two guys talking about video games on the internet. Like, that just there just isn't enough of it. So we just want to fill that niche.
it's a very small niche market. So yeah, our sort of kicker is that, you know, we're an old geek, young geek, and there's the generational gap between us as gamers. So today's topic will be just sort of like the difference between old games and new games. And I think one of the first things that I notice when it comes to like old school versus new school games is that old games are hard, like really difficult. So, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's talk about the news. And in the news, not much is happening. So
it is a slow week for news in the video game world.
It is a bit of a slow week. However, there was a rather major release that came out for the PlayStation 4, The Order 1886. This title had a lot of hype surrounding it, and normally that's, in general, a bad thing when there's too much hype. But this one actually looked really promising. It was an original concept. You know, it had some cool looking gameplay. But you know, you really can't tell much from a few different trailers and, you know, very short gameplay clips that are shipped out, you know, every once in a while. So I don't have a PS4, neither do you, Steven. So neither of us have really gotten the chance to play the game and see for ourselves. But the general consensus seems to be that it wasn't very good. Mostly the reason being is that it was too short, clocking in about 5 to 6 hours. And most of it was filled with cutscenes, non-playable areas, and QuickTime events where you just hit the buttons and play Simon Says. This, I think, is unacceptable for AAA titles these days.
In a sense, I agree with you, but I got to take a different tack on it because, again, this is because of my age. I don't mind if games are shorter, if they're finished quicker, because, you know, I don't need a game to be, you know, 100 hours long for me to feel like I got my $60 worth. If you give me a good solid 7-8 hours of gameplay, even less than that, I'm all right with it, as long as the game itself is good during that time.
But that's the problem, though, is that, like, the game apparently wasn't very good. I mean, like, it seems to be that, well, $60 is a really huge price of entry. Like, if this was something like a downloadable title, like, say, like, maybe if it was like $30 at most, I would pay that much for a downloadable title on my PlayStation 4 and then, you know, revisit that later for, like, you know, just an evening to play something.
Right.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with short games, but I think that there is something wrong with a $60 short game.
I don't know. I don't know that you can quantify games in terms of like, I've never been a person who quantified games in terms of how short they are or how long they are. Like, that just doesn't... The only way that affects how I feel about the game is if it is so long that it's boring and I can tell that the levels are sort of make-work kind of levels to add hours to it, or if it's so short that you can tell it's not quite finished. But a concise, you know, something like Portal or Portal 2 even, like, what was the playtime on Portal 2? 10 hours maybe, you know?
Portal 2, I think, clocked in around, like, 8 to 10 hours.
And it was one of the best games that I've ever played. Like, as a full right. experience, you know, so...
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, The Order, apparently, had... again, just apparently, because neither of us have played it. Like, it just had, you know, cutscenes, and it was very cinematic and, you know, pretty looking. But, you know, that's not game. And, you know, QuickTime events, no one likes QuickTime events. I certainly don't. And the
I think all gamers of all ages can agree on the fact that QuickTime events should be kept to a bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean,
occasionally, okay. Occasionally, I don't hate them, but like,
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, when you have action sequences in game, why not render that control over to the player?
Yeah, I agree with you totally. I mean, although in something like that is a strict storytelling game, like what Telltale does and stuff, you know, like
okay.
it's like understandable, and it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, and if right. the best thing you can say about an aspect of gameplay is that, well, it's not the very worst thing in the world in some contexts. You know, that's not saying much for yeah. it, is it?
Yeah. No, not at all. So, I don't know.
So, as far yeah. as The Order goes, neither of us played it, but nobody likes it.
Yeah, so...
All right. Now, my topic is something okay. that is much, much smaller. For a small news week, I figured I'd pick a new story that not many people are talking about. Probably yeah. for good reason, but I don't know if yes. you heard about this, but Mr. Kanye West, the great Yeezus, Yeezy, is...
Young Jeezy.
What? He's not Young Jeezy. That's a different... That's oh. a different... Come oh, on,
I,
man.
I'm Yeezy, sorry. Yeezy. I'm not up on these things. I'm not hip. I'm not cool. So okay,
and I am.
Continue.
Let me tell you, man. I'm pretty cool. So, no, Kanye
You're
West
wearing sunglasses
is,
right now.
Kanye West is entering into the world of games in the upcoming months.
Oh, Lord.
He said that he is going to be creating a game called Only One, and it is meant to coexist with the song of the same name. And in the game, players try to get Kanye's dead mother to the highest gates of heaven by holding her to the light. Oh, I'll let that sink in for a second. And here's my take on it. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, there is probably a 90 to 95% chance that whatever game this is some shovelware for the iPhone that is just designed for you to make microtransactions that go to some horrible, soulless mobile gaming company. But there is a 10 to 5% chance that the Kanye game will be the greatest thing that has ever come out, because it's Kanye, and sometimes, man, he will knock it so far out of the park that there isn't even a park. And if he did that with video games, what he did with the last record that he put out, with the last album that he put out, then there is some small chance that this is the game changer. And I just want to be on record saying I don't actually think this is going to happen. But if it does, I'm a psychic. If it does, like, I got my finger on the pulse of this shit.
Wow.
And that's what's going on in my world of video games this week. Kanye putting out a game where I try to get his mother into heaven.
Wow.
Right? Right? Aren't you interested? Are you not interested in this idea?
I am interested. I'm offended. I have no idea what to think of this thing. Like, okay, I'm not up on things because I screwed up the whole Yeezy thing. and like, I don't really like Kanye. I admire him for his confidence, and that's about where it stops. Okay, like, all right, and secondly, like, he's trying to...
How come the young person is saying, I don't like that Kanye, and then the old guy's like, Jesus, man, the guy's... I think that just says something to my level of maturity, which doesn't seem to actually even exist.
I have an old soul, I suppose you could say.
And I'm perpetually 16, so...
But, okay, so, like, the concept is he's trying to bring his dead mother into heaven. So, is he the Messiah? Is he saving the damned?
No, the player does that.
The player does
right,
that.
Right, so I don't think you play as Kanye. Okay. Although, I don't know, it's hard to say. He has not released many details about the game yet, so... This is just sheer speculation. But the only gameplay element that he mentioned is that you try to get her into the highest gates of heaven by holding her to the light. I don't know what that means, but, man.
And I'm trying to think, like, gameplay-wise, like...
How does that work?
I don't even know, but... I don't know. As a God-loving man... As a Jesus-loving man, I'm rather confused and just sort of, yeah, like I said, a little bit offended. Like, I think that Kanye thinks that he might be Jesus or the Second Coming or God himself.
He proclaims himself God quite often.
Yes, and that's the thing. Again, with his confidence, I admire that, but it does tend to overstep boundaries. But wow, this is... I wouldn't say that it's beyond Kanye, but wow. Okay. I'm taken aback a little
there
bit.
There you go. Well, see, I've already succeeded in the mission.
Yes.
Which is to take people aback.
Yeah. So that, wow. Okay, that's the news.
That is the week in old geek, young geek news.
Yeah. Okay. So onto the topic of the show. Really excited to talk about this.
Yes, difficulty in games over time.
Yeah. So I play a lot of newer modern games, and you know I started out playing like games really hardcore about the N64 era, and I had Atari and I had NES, but those didn't really quite grab me in the way that N64 did. So I've kind of like started there and like continually like with each generation of console kept up with that and sort of like evolved into the gamer that I am today. And when I revisit those old games, they're tough, dude.
Oh yeah.
I suck. I really suck. And like I like my credibility as a gamer, like I have to turn in that card every time that I, you know, play an old school video game like Mega Man or even the original Mario. Like I am just,
and let's not even like
awful.
Bring up like Battletoads or something like that, you know.
I'm not even gonna talk about that.
It is not worth talking about. I mean, it's awesome, but it's, as far as difficulty, there's a reason it's the go-to most difficult game.
And that's what a lot of people like, like you said, like it's the go-to like extremely difficult game, and they just seem punishing.
Yeah, there's a point where something being very difficult is not enjoyable.
Yeah,
and that's like a design decision on the parts of the people who make games. You know, you can make a really hard game it's incredibly enjoyable to continue playing it. Like something like like off the top of my head, Super Meat Boy comes to mind. Did you play that game?
Yeah,
incredibly hard, but you just kept playing it forever, trying to get through that level that you can't get through. You know?
Right, and I think that it was part of the game design, because as we've evolved, like, so has game design, and, you know, the thing with Super Meat Boy versus, like, old games is, like, the continuous system. In old games, you only had a limited number of lives, and, you know, game over from then on out, and, like, you do the continue, and you'll start not from a checkpoint, provided there was one, and then you'll start from, like, the beginning of the mission, and, like, you'll just get frustrated that you have to go through all that nonsense again.
Right, and, you know, as far as, like, where that sort of difficulty curve comes from, it's from, as far as I see it, it comes from two different places, and one is the very origin of video gaming, which is the arcades. And, you know, the game makers were obviously very concerned with sucking as many quarters out of people as possible, so they had to make the games very difficult. And even when they switched to the home, they didn't have that that necessity, but at the same time, that culture stayed of that's how games are, is that they're hard, and they ramp up and get harder. And the other place it comes from, and this might maybe even more than from the arcades, is because in the old days, the technical limitations of games made it so that the only way you could make a game lengthy for people is to make it incredibly challenging and have to repeat the same sections again and again and actually get them right. So some of it comes from that, and some of it's culture and some of it's design. And I'm glad that the people who make games like Super Meat Boy have taken the thing that was good about games that are incredibly difficult and jettisoned all the things that were frustrating about them.
Yes. So. And like it comes back to game length. As we were talking with the Order 1886, people didn't feel as though they were getting their money's worth. So with older games, games like Mega Man and Castlevania were extremely difficult, but they were to the point where they weren't quite so punishing. They were frustratingly difficult, but like they provided enough challenge that the player had a small increment of hope that they could do this. And when they overcame that challenge, they felt very, successful. They felt gratified that they were able to overcome that. And there definitely is something from that. I don't really play many old games now, but I play a lot of games that sort of harken back to the days of the old school, such as Super Meat Boy, such as Shovel Knight.
Right.
Both of those games definitely draw a lot from the old school games, but because of modern interventions and modern game design, they're designed in such a way that, you know, I was challenged and, you know, I died quite a lot and, you know, failed at many attempts, but, you know, I still felt compelled to move forward and keep on trying. I wasn't quite discouraged.
Right.
And that's what I feel a lot with the old school games. Like I'm awful at Mega Man, and you know, I just hear so much praise about Mega Man and how it's designed and how it's, you know, challenging but not punishing. But yeah, it's just brutal the amount of dedication that it takes to, you know, just beat that. So when I talk to my friend about like beating the first Mega Man game in 30 minutes, I'm astonished
that it could happen. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's also this about like difficulty in old school games is that we have so far been talking about like Twitch games, arcade games and that kind of thing, and they have a different sort of difficulty than other genres of old school games. Like if you play back in the day, if you played like some sort of adventure game and you couldn't figure something out, you just couldn't figure it out. Like you didn't go to the internet cuz there wasn't one. And none of your friends, you couldn't ask any of your friends because you're the biggest nerd that there possibly is if you're sitting around on an Apple II playing a computer game. So like if you just got to figure it out. And in a way, like that really is a good lesson that I don't feel like kids today, I don't feel are getting this lesson that like sometimes it's incredibly frustrating and long, but it's so gratifying when you've been stuck on something forever and you finally say, oh, I have to give the silver key to the gnome and then he'll give me the pie and then I bring the pie to the old lady at the store and she'll give me the magic sword. So,
right. You know. And that's like going into classic adventure games like King's Quest and Sierra games of that ilk. That was something that I never really got into, and those are more obscure.
See, I love those games. I love those.
Yeah,
they were the best. They were the coolest.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But like, they did the funniest thing with piracy. I thought they had the greatest piracy prevention system ever, which is if you cracked or pirated a copy of one of those games, the game would know it somehow, and I can't remember how exactly it would know you were playing a pirated copy, but you would just get to, say, the middle of the game, and then you wouldn't have the thing that you needed, and you wouldn't even know that you didn't have the thing that you would need. So you just would left in this limbo of unsolvability with no idea of... So if you pirated their games, they would punish you for it, which I think is awesome.
that is amazing. That is cruel and clever, and I love right? it. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. It does come down to genre, because, you know, classic Twitch games, as you said, like Mega Man, Castlevania, those sort of games, you know, that's a different thing than, say, like King's Quest or even the original Legend of Zelda, you know, because, like, if you take adventure games, like, normally they'll just, like, drop you in without any sort of context. Like, it doesn't say, like, oh, I heard some rumors about something in the north. Like, nothing.
Right.
The original Zelda just started you off. You're a dude with a funny hat and a shield, and you just go to the nearest thing. It's an old man in a cave. It says, dangerous to go alone, take this. And that's a classic gaming line.
Right.
But, like, that's it. That's your starting point. Go into the world with this wooden sword and do very minimal damage and die a lot.
In an existential sense, I kind of like it. Like, you know, it's like saying, hey, man, you don't get any... nobody's going to take you aside and say, here's what your life direction is. You better decide what it is yourself.
Life is pain!
Exactly.
Bam!
Life is meaningless.
Find your own way. Be a man.
But nowadays, games, I noticed this, and I'm going to go on an old man rant now. I think, like, the old man rant is going to be like a staple of this if we continue to do this. But here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Games today, most of them are hallways that you walk down and they show you stuff. Like, the idea of difficulty doesn't even enter into them. They're just so easy that old guys look at these games and just go, like, why are you even playing this? I mean, yeah, sure, it's real nice that you walk through this thing. You walk into room one, shoot all the dudes. Walk into room two, shoot all the dudes. Walk into room three, shoot all the dudes. If you fail to shoot all the dudes, well, you get as many chances as you want, and you don't have to have any sort of punishment for failing, so just keep trying and trying and trying until you finally walk through the final hallway where you push the button, and then the game ends. And it stretches the meaning of the word games. Some of these games are so easy these days.
Okay.
And I get that people like that, but Jesus.
No, I hear you.
Not all games, not all games. That. I'm not saying all games, but
yeah,
many.
Right. Right. And I hear you on that. A lot of games are very linear. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with linearity. I don't think there's anything wrong with open format. But there's a way to do that in such a way that, you know, it becomes, well, good. There's a way to, like, create pacing. There's a way to create storytelling, especially now in modern games, where, you know, it's an experience now. It's
right.
It's not the challenge that it was back in the day. And I think that, like, old school games are more of a display of gameplay, and
right.
now modern games are more of a display of storytelling, or at least some
yeah.
try, and like, there's that sort of dichotomy of storytelling and gameplay, and rarely do they ever meet, and that's a shame. Sometimes when they do, though, it creates very, very, very good a very good experience, and I like that.
Give me an example. Like I'm thinking, like, as soon as you say that, I think Portal.
Okay.
I think BioShock. The original BioShock did that really,
yeah.
really well, where like,
yeah.
like, I mean, not to get too deep, but, you know, the inherent contradiction in gaming itself is the idea that on the one hand, you have choices and you can do whatever you want. But on the other hand,
right.
you don't really have any choices because you're just in a box and you are trying to get to the end of it. I mean, and that's
right.
every game. And I thought that
yeah.
those two particular titles married those ideas in a way that made a sort of whole that was satisfying, particularly BioShock.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
reveal in BioShock, the first BioShock, when it turns out that you haven't been in control of your own actions the entire game, is just, like,
right.
it was so mind-blowing. I was like, oh, my God, like, that is so brilliant.
Yeah. And that speaks a lot about, like, player agency. And we'll probably come back to this in later episodes of player agency in games.
It's a
and
huge
sort
topic.
Of, totally. And, you know, BioShock is a good example of that, though your choices are rather binary. You know, it's
sure.
you either get the good ending or the bad ending, and there's no real in between.
But as far as, like, gameplay versus storytelling, I don't know. I feel like... Okay, so one game that I love a lot is Uncharted 2, Among Thieves. Mm-hmm. Fantastic game, fantastic pacing, really fun gameplay, very linear. But the way that it was presented with, you know, enemy placement, gunfights, the action sequences that you went through, it's an extremely fun experience. And that's the thing. It's like, it's an experience. It has the pacing of an action movie, and you feel like you're the star of it. Nathan Drake is a fantastic character with great one-liners, and, you know, the fight scenes and... I mean, like, they play out like fight scenes, the way that, like, you can just sort of improvise, and you have that agency to run around, and the different weapons that you use, you know, you can sneak, or you can just go in guns a-blazing. It doesn't really matter. Like, that's an awesome example of, like, gameplay, and the story, it kind of meshes well, because, like, you see the character come through in that gameplay. You see the character come through, like, you know, in those... interstitial moments in the cutscenes, and it's kind of sad that, like, you know, it goes from, like, gameplay to cutscene to gameplay to cutscene, and that's kind of, like, format of video games,
right?
And like you said, like, it's just hallway and then shoot bad dudes, or, you know, overcome challenge and then press button, receive ending, success,
right? But I see what you're saying, that the thing that I have described in a very negative way isn't necessarily a negative. Like, I agree, but right. But it's just so often, yeah, because it's very difficult to make anything that's any good. People just fall back into cliches, and, well, this is the way games have always been. So I love it when games don't do that. Like, and I'm not like you can have a totally brilliant game that fits into that model. But when games don't fit into that model, that's when they, in my mind, like, the interest goes way up on my part. I'm just like, I love a game.
Oh,
I love
sure.
a game that doesn't have cutscenes. I think, you know what? You know what cutscenes are? I think cutscenes are a remnant of what video games are based on, which is basically movies. Okay, so that's the old that's the old media format, is movies, right? And if you think about movies when they were starting out, or around the same age that video games are now, what did movies have? They had title cards that would tell you what the dialogue was, and that was left over from books. So like, that the cutscene is the title card of video games.
I mean, like, it's also a limitation of technology, though.
I mean, they didn't
really have audio and stuff like that, so that's apples and oranges. But I see where you're coming from. Like, I mean games now, I mean, at least not in the mainstream sort of sense, like, games have really pushed the envelope of what defines a game. And that's the thing, like, that's another topic that we can probably go into.
Yeah, like, when is a game a game? Yeah, that's a
really
good point.
Like, the thing is, like, a game is always a game. If it has that element of interactivity, it is a game. For example, Gone Home was one of my favorite games that I've ever played.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that game. I've heard a lot about it, and I definitely want to give it a try.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely should. It's a shorter game. On Steam, like, it's only two and a half hours, but you just spend the time just walking around this house, picking up, like, artifacts, like, listening to, like, journal entries from a character, and you sort of, like, piece together the story. It's a really interesting experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no real challenge to it. You just kind of explore, and, like, it just kind of flows naturally with the way that things are opened up and the way that you sort of progress throughout the house and discover new areas and new entries, and just sort of, like, you really get a sense of what was going on in this house with this family, and it's a really great experience. And another game that I can refer to, Journey by That Game Company.
Oh, yeah, that's
for the
a fantastic
PS3.
Game, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic game. Less than 2 hours, just walking straight forward.
Right, yeah,
there is a
that's
little,
true.
Yeah, there's a small challenge to it with, like, the dragon things, but that game has impacted me in more ways than any other kind of media has. Like, that game is just so profound, and it's so wonderful. I love that game to death, and, like, yeah, that's not really a game in a traditional sense with challenge or continues or cutscenes or anything like that.
Right.
I mean, like, each sort of section is punctuated by, like, a little bit of, like, a cutscene of sorts, but, like, it's not really the emphasis.
Right, and it had that amazing, yeah, like, way of integrating other players and online in a, yeah, totally new way. That sort of blew my mind, was that, like, that you could kind of interact with other players a little bit, and they were in your world, but it was your journey, not theirs. So, like, they were not the star, you were, no matter, yeah, what. Yeah, so I love that part of it, too.
Yeah, it was very minimalist. And because of its minimalism, like, there was no, like, this is the lore of this land. No, you kind of made that up if you wanted to.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that it's actually really, yeah, interesting that is coming to the forefront now, because, like, advances in technology have made that sort of thing possible, where I don't know that there is a comparable old-school game, maybe something like Myst. But then Myst, yeah, was just kind of a series of puzzles as opposed to,
right,
I guess it was kind of a story. I guess that's the godfather of those kind of games is Myst.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah. I have Myst. I tend to collect games. It's like if I had a trophy room, Myst would be sitting like in a glass case, like, ah, yes, I bought that in 2008, and it was,
you know,
and it was a fantastic game.
I'd be curious about like what your reaction would be to Myst, because I have a feeling that time has not been kind to it. I mean, I haven't played it since it was out, but
yeah.
I have a feeling that it's the kind of thing that the passage of time has not been kind to at all, and probably most people would give it a few minutes, give it, you know, a half an hour, and go, why the hell am I doing this? This is terrible. But I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. You should give it a try. It'd be interesting. You know what? That's the assignment for next thing. I'm going to play Myst.
Okay.
You play Myst, and we'll see what we like about Myst, or what we hate about
it. Okay, so we'll talk about Myst on the next episode of Old Geek, Young Geek.
There you go.
But... yeah, and that's I'm excited now.
All right.
I'm gonna play Myst.
Cool.
That's cool.
Well, now we got a plan for the next episode, and we have I feel we've covered this topic, and I feel like we can wrap it up.
I feel like we can too. So until next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. I am Stephen Johnson.
And I am Scott Pell.
And we are Old Geek, New Geek.
And
Young Geek. Wait.
Young Geek.
What's the name of our podcast again?
We're Old Geek, Young Geek.
Old Geek, Young Geek.
I'm not new to this realm of geekdom. I've been a geek all my life. I'm just younger than you. That doesn't make...
Well, then, right. There you go. This is Old Geek, Other Geek.
I'm out. And if you like today's podcast, let us know. Send us a tweet at Old Geek Young Geek on Twitter, or send us an email at oldgeekyounggeek@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'm back, I'm cool, when Cyber's in a tier on me. No ghost, no 16-bit like Sega Genesis. RG ball on the board, soundtrack on the track, Gemini on the job, Shelly G on the G, set green for the green, free chillin' in the back on my thing for the listeners.